Hey, Prime members, you can listen to That Scene with Dan Patrick ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
And he jumps up, grabs my hand with his mouth, bites down on my hand. My thumb is completely engulfed in this cougar's mouth at this point. I could feel its fang go through my hand to the other side. And I thought, I'm losing my thumb. Today I'm losing a thumb. And I was like, this is really not good.
Hi, I'm Dan Patrick, and this is IMDb's That Scene with Dan Patrick, an Amazon original. The podcast where I talk to some of Hollywood's top actors, directors, and producers about some of their most iconic scenes that have defined their careers, helped shape the cinematic landscape, and have even become fixtures in pop culture. Today, we are joined by Canadian actress and model Alicia Cuthbert. With a standout film career in blockbusters like Old School and The Girl Next Door, she first blew up on the scene with her role as Kim Bauer on the TV show 24 with Kiefer Sutherland. 24 stands on IMDb with a score of 8.3 out of 10. In the second season of 24, Alicia found her character Kim in peril once again, which seemed to happen on a weekly basis. This time, she's just escaped police custody. She's on the run in the California wilderness, and she's being stalked by a cougar. But as it turns out, the real danger happened behind the scenes. How did this episode take on a life of its own?
I mean, 24 was always crazy and to the extreme and to the limit when we were filming anyway. But this week in particular and this episode, I ended up getting the most horrific flu. I was so ill. It's funny, like when actors get sick, they're just like, suck it up. They give you a B12 shot in your ass and it's like, away you go. So I was in between scenes. I was back at the trailer. I was throwing up. I was just like, just wicked, wicked flu. So I think this is like the start of the most hellish week of my life. And then I don't know where we were. We're somewhere deep in the valley to shoot this, like Kim's off running and trying to like get herself out of some sort of crazy trouble that she's always in. She sees like a mountain lion / cougar in the distance. And it's enough to kind of rattle her, and she runs off. Well, then they're like, well, maybe we'll get the cat closer. But, you know, protocol says we've got to introduce the actors to the set animals. Really? Can't I just go back to my trailer? And I'm like, I've got the sweats. I'm dying. I'm like, I really got to go meet this animal. I'm just like so far away from this cat. They're like, no, this is the rules. This is the union rules. So I get with my stunt double at the time, Melissa, great girl. She comes with me, and I'm like, okay, let's see this cat. We got this, and I'm like, oh, that's not a cat. That's like a mountain lion. That is no joke. And the wrangler says to me, don't worry, Alicia. This cat plays with my kids, okay? This cat, this is the most gentle. It's grown up around humans its whole career. It's so well-behaved. Go ahead. Reach in and pet him. Now, I think a non-sick version of myself would have been like, are you nuts? I'm not touching this animal. But I was like, yeah, okay. So I stick my hand out to give him like a nice little pat on the head. And he jumps up, grabs my hand with his mouth, bites down on my hand. My thumb is completely engulfed in this cougar's mouth at this point. I could feel its fang go through my hand to the other side. And I thought, I'm losing my thumb. Today I'm losing a thumb. And I was like, this is really not good. Somehow the trainer kind of jerks back on its chain and it releases and just lets my hand go. And luckily, my thumb was still intact, but I got a nice little, it's hard to see, but I got a nice little scar from one end to the other, but it got me good. And then I just started bleeding profusely. And then the pain kicked in. And I was like, ow, this is painful. And then they get me, the best part is, they call the hospital and say, we've got an actress who was attacked, mauled by a mountain lion here on set.
Mauled.
She was mauled. They said, bring her in. So they get me in a set car. They drive me there. What we forget or neglect to remind the medical staff is that because my character was in such distress, I had all of this fake blood on me that was not from the cat.
So you look like you got mauled.
I look like I was half eaten, and I the nurses and the paramedics snatch me up, throw me on a gurney, and I'm like, no, it's just my hand. And they're like, what? I go, this is fake. This is all fake. It's just my hand. And then I get it literally ended in me like getting a tetanus shot and, you know, you're going to be fine. And I was like, oh my gosh. So then the producers come and they're like, do you think we could come back to work now? Are you okay?
But didn't you question it, though? I know you weren't in your right mind, but when the trainer says, I let the cougar play with my kids, like, wouldn't a bell go off and go, oh my God.
When he said that, I was like, that seems so unsafe. Like, I remember thinking, like, man, like, this must be the most special cougar in all of history. Like, I was just like, wow. And here I go, dum-dum, reach out to this thing. After something like that, you're always like, why did that happen? Why did that happen to me? Now, I have a couple theories. One theory is that it sensed that I was super weak because of my flu. I thought maybe there's this weird thing where I was such a damaged little, sad little soul of a person that day that it was like, oh my God, this is the weakest human being I've ever encountered in my life. I'm going to eat her. Like, to me, that's what is my theory. And then I'm like, and you know what? Fair enough. The second thought was, there was a possibility that maybe something, because we were out on location and like in its actual, what should be its natural habitat, maybe it got spooked by something. Maybe it heard something we didn't. I have no idea. All I know is that that cat, and I, when I went up to block, I'm not even kidding you, the thing was 90 pounds. It jumped up onto me. It actually batted me in the face. Now that I'm recalling it, so it's coming back to me. It punched me in the face.
Oh.
It was crazy.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
But we didn't know about this when we're watching the episode. So how did people kind of, you know, make this cult-like status?
Well, I think a combination of two things. Kim Bauer at that stage of the game in the show was getting so ridiculous. The amount of that this young lady was going through.
And I have to admit up front, though, Alicia, I was yelling at the TV at you, like, will you stop getting into trouble?
I would get the scripts. So I go, no, how am I going to do this? How am I going to make this right? It's funny. It was the perfect timing for me because I was at a point in my career where I wanted to make it so bad in the U.S. and be an actor and live in L.A. and be on a show. I mean, it was all my dreams come true. And secretly inside, I would be like, I don't know how I'm going to pull this off. And I'm not going to let on that I'm terrified at this, but I'm going to do my best. They go, is this okay? I'm like, yes, I'm a cougar in there. I can do anything. Walk me up, throw me off the side of a building. I don't, put me in water. I don't care.
And what are you, 18 or 19 at the time?
I was 19.
Oh my God.
I was just so proud and glad to be there, but the material would come in and I would just be like, oh no. Oh no. And I think actually one year TV Guide named me the character on television that people most love to hate. I was like, yes! I have a title of some sort. This is great. So silly.
You're like an instigator in hockey on the ice. Like, you know, people love to hate that person, you know, that That is always starting stuff, and that was you.
Oh, my gosh. It was, you know what, if anything, it was very memorable. But, yeah, I think it got so stuck in people's consciousness from the show because, one, the character at that point was had just hit the most pinnacle of peaks of absurdity. Like, what else could this girl possibly get herself into? This is insane. And then the combination of then going and promoting the show and having this great, amazing story to say that I got attacked by the actual cougar that was, you know, making everyone crazy. And so then there was that sort of crazy tale of just insanity.
But is that a favorite moment of yours? I can tell you enjoy recalling it, but in the moment it probably wasn't great. But when you look back on it, is that one of your favorite moments? You can say no.
Was it one of my favorite moments? It was one of the most unforgettable moments of my career because of the craziness that it was. It was definitely unforgettable, but I don't know if it was one of my favorite moments. I think because I was just so sick. We were shooting crazy hours. It was a taxing show. It was probably some of the hardest work to date for me, physically, emotionally. Every time I was on screen, it was full throttle. It was crying my eyes out for 12 hours, just staying in that state of fear and panic. It was really taxing. Like, that was a tough gig, really.
I take issue with Jack Bauer's parenting skills, though.
He didn't care about me.
No, he didn't. But, okay, you say at 19, and TV Guide is saying that people love to hate you.
Yeah.
Like, you could be 29 or 39 or 49, and that's still hard to process. So you're trying so hard to make it and people don't like, they tune in, but they don't like you.
Yeah.
How do you process that?
It was kind of like a backhanded compliment, but I'll take the compliment side of it and not stew in the negativity of it. But yeah, I remember wanting to shift and navigate the writing in a way. When you're on a TV show, you get to live and be this character for such a longer period of time than when you're on a film. And you know the start, the arc, and the finish when you're on a film, where the character is going to go. But it's an open book when you're on TV. You have to be ready to, like, learn that you've got a sister from a, you know, you got to be ready for anything that they throw at you. You could pick up the next week's script and, you know, your long-lost cousin is coming back into the picture. You know, it's like, you don't know what you're going to find. So I remember thinking, like, no, I've been through so much. Why can't I get to, like, show that I can be as badass as Jack Bauer? I always had that wanting, that feeling. And I also felt like when we were shooting, there was one scene in the first season, I'll never forget this, where it was actually written that Kim takes out Nina, who is the one who was responsible for the death of my mother and responsible for me and my mother getting kidnapped and the whole ordeal of it. It was going to sort of be my redemption in a way. And I remember Kiefer coming in the set right when I had the gun in my hand on the set and him saying, "We're making a rewrite change. I should be the one to take her down." And I went, "What?" I was choked because I thought, wow, this is my moment. I remember that being a moment where I felt like, man, that would have been great. But I understood where he was coming from. I understood that, you know, he was Jeff Bauer. He had to be the guy. But you got to be ready in TV. You got to be ready for absolutely any call, any shift, any rewrite. It's tough stuff.
I don't want to hurt you. But I will do everything that I have to do to protect my family.
I have killed two people since midnight. I have not slept for over 24 hours. So maybe you should be a little more afraid of me than you are right now.
Trust me, you don't want to go down this road with me.
But it was also kind of strange because it's not like we could show you in the library or we could show you making a cake. Like, you're Jack Bauer's daughter.
Yeah.
He's always in trouble. So we can't juxtapose that and go, meanwhile, Kim is making a cake.
Exactly. It's fun, though. It's a wild ride.
Why do you think this show resonated with people? What hit home about this?
We were doing something different. This is pre-streaming services. We were just touching on maybe, like, recording shows. But it was still at a time where you had to actually tune in every week. And that's the only time you could see it. And there wasn't another option. And so it was the last show of its kind during that time that was going through sort of a shift in making TV look like a movie. There was never anything before that that felt like you were watching a feature film. It was very stimulating and it was very different. It was like visually different and it was smarter and it was this movie star at the helm. So there was a lot of different things, and we were super current with being so similar to what was really going on in the world and in the news. You know, just the intensity of that, we was very much feeling like we were right there on everyone's consciousness. It was like, it was mimicking exactly what the fears that we were having in our real day to day.
And it's appointment viewing. How would 24 have been if we binge watch as opposed to appointment viewing?
I don't know if it would have been as intense. If you're watching a really good binge worthy show, every episode ends with that cliffhanger of you wanting to see the next. It was the frontier of that, leaving people on the edge of their seat every single episode. So I think it would do really well, and I think it would be totally binge-worthy. It's just, you know, if someone who had never seen it saw it now, would it still hold up or track? I don't know.
Did they ever think about revisiting another season? What is life like for you and Jack Bauer?
There was a lot of talk about doing films, like, you know, the 24 film. And I think there was a script bopping around for a minute, and then I don't know what transpired. So I don't think it's completely out of the question. And it would be interesting to see where Jack is at. And he's so iconic in that role and so good at being that sort of mumbly badass, you know, that really like deep voice, like just scare the living daylights out of you. Like, he'd cut your thumb off in a second. Like, the guy is scary.
Wait, let's don't talk about cutting off thumbs here. We've already gone down that road.
Thank God I still got it. I still got it.
And you also said sink your teeth into...
I know. What are all these really bad puns?
When you see Kiefer, or you talk to Kiefer last time you have, like, do you guys reminisce about 24? Does it come up in conversation?
Yeah. I did another show after called Happy Endings. I needed such a break from the intensity of 24 that I was so desperate to do comedy. It was such a nice treat to go off and do that. But I actually tried to get Kiefer to come on Happy Endings. And he was like, Jack Bauer can't do that.
But you also revisited the cougar scene on Happy Endings.
You know, Happy Endings is such a pop cult. Like, we love to like tap into like pop cultural things. So 24 was such a, you know, iconic TV show. So it was really funny to the juxtaposition of my character talking about my actual character. So silly.
A lot of cute guys here tonight, Al.
Nah, not really what I'm looking for, Penn.
I don't know. It's been a while since you and Dave split up. I mean, maybe you should think about dating again.
I still don't think I'm ready yet.
Are you sure? Because I feel like tonight would be the perfect night for you to get back out there, like, now.
I don't think so.
Okay, well, what if you were, like, stuck in a trap in the woods and, like, a cougar was trying to eat you? Would you date then?
That's insane. Why would that even happen?
I have no idea. Forget that. Because maybe your dad is the head of some elite counter-terrorist unit and he only has 24 hours to... I don't know. The point is, would you date?
I guess.
I knew it!
Do you try to run from a character like that? That you get out of something that I think you were there for 8 seasons and then when your agent says, hey... fielding other roles, do you purposely say, I got to make somebody laugh or I got to laugh myself? I can't be in danger.
Yeah, creatively, I just needed something else to sink my teeth into that wasn't that. After Happy Endings, it was like, oh, you know, I think I want to try something I've never done before and then tackle, like, I've never done a sitcom. I want to try that. Whatever the last thing is, I'm always trying to do something different. But it's been so much time since 24, I think dramatic stuff, I think I could actually see myself doing that again. And so it's this weird cycle of like, okay, once the comedy is over, then it's like, then back to drama, and then back to comedy, and then back to drama. You know, it's just trying to keep it fresh.
But I always wondered if you could have taken over the role and then
your
dad's in retirement.
Yes.
And then, like, I like that where you get to finally show what you can do.
Oh, my God.
You're always a damsel in distress. And now you get the chance to say,
yes,
I am woman, hear me roar.
Listen, I hope people are listening to you. I mean, I always thought that that was such a great thought. I mean, even when we were filming, it was like, get her something that could lead into that segue of, could there be a day where she could kick ass like he could? The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. Maybe there's that. It's in their blood, you know, to just be, you know, saving the planet, saving the world.
Did you keep anything from the set?
Yeah, I've got some of the wardrobe because, you know, it's funny with 24, which people don't think about. But when a season takes place over the course of one day, it's technically one outfit. Your wardrobe, you're like, it's like The Simpsons. You never change. Marge has always been that blue dress. Kim was always in a tank top and jeans. I'm telling you, I had 60 different pairs of the exact same shirt, the exact same jeans, but all very much leaning towards the most distressed version of that. Like, it started off really crispy, and then this shirt ends up being, like, basically brown and tethered and just mauled. So, like, oh, what version of the shirt am I wearing today? So, I have a couple of, like, the classic tanks from the first season, which I'm surprised I didn't burn, because you get to a point where you just hate wearing the same thing, the worst uniform ever. I've got some cool, like, props and things like that. Every year we get, like, you know, hats and jackets with the logo on it just for the crew and cast. So I've got all that really good stuff. And I got a slew of pictures and great, great memories. But, yeah, I got some fun stuff.
In case people don't know, your husband is pro hockey player Dion Phaneuf. Was he aware of your work on 24? Had he watched the show?
He still has never seen 24. He still has never seen it.
Come on. He's your husband.
I know. Listen, I'm going to tell him. I just called him out on it right now in front of everyone. Everyone knows now. He has no excuse.
Tell him just to watch the Cougar episode.
Well, yeah, maybe we'll just cut to that and just make him force him to watch the time I was mauled by a cougar.
Mauled.
But he's mauled. But he's seen The Girl Next Door. He's seen a few of the movies. He's seen some of the stuff. He's seen some of my stuff, but not everything.
Yeah, but you got to watch all that regular season hockey, and nobody wants to watch that. I mean,
we were trying to calculate because we've been married for 7 years, and we've been together for almost 12. And we were trying, someone asked me, how many hockey games have you seen? And I was like, oh my God, I don't know. They already played too many in a season anyway with 82 games at the time. Who plays 82 games of anything?
Well, baseball, you could be married to a baseball player. You got 162.
Oh, you're so right. Oh man, and those games are not short.
Oh, it's forever. There's no clock ticking. It's forever.
It's forever.
Ever.
It's forever.
What other projects are you working on now?
I am headed to Ireland to shoot a psychological thriller in November, so I'm really excited about that. And I have another movie, a fun independent film about a playwright, so I'll be shooting that. Things that were supposed to already have happened got pushed, but luckily things are turning around, and I'm so glad to be getting back out and getting back at it, so I'm excited for that.
Do you remember, as I say goodbye, maybe a chunk of dialogue that will always be with you that Kim had on 24?
I'm trying to think now. We had a lot of phone call conversations that were on the show, a big part of the show, because people were all in different locations. We spent a lot of time with serious scenes on cell phones. Kiefer had this rule that was really great, that every actor, even if you weren't on screen, but you were on the call, had to show up to work and be there in person to do the off-camera lines. It was a great rule because it made the scenes go so much better than having some, you know, script supervisor just read off the words. I mean, you really had a connection. And we had this really dramatic scene where Jack was telling Kim that, I love you and I don't think I'm going to get through this. I'm going to die to save this planet and the world. And I remember being... literally, when he's on that call in the plane, I'm hiding behind him in that scene, doing the actual dialogue with him and, like, bawling my eyes out because it was this big dramatic scene. Having those moments and those scenes with actors that are so intense, but being there for each other and support each other was so great. I know we ended it with I love you, and that was a great moment, but that's a scene and a moment in that time frame for me that I'll never forget. So that was pretty epic.
Thank you for taking a trip down memory lane. It's weird to talk about an episode that we, like, would it have been a better episode if we saw you get bitten by the cougar and then actually watched you go to the hospital? Like that. Now, see, that would have been a great episode. Like, you would have been a great method actor. Like, De Niro would have nothing on you if you said, yeah, you want the cougar to bite me? Okay. And then we're going to take you and get you stitched up.
Yes.
I mean, your husband's been stitched up before in hockey. Come on.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, yeah, his eyebrows are like mangled for that. And he finally has a part two.
Thank you for reminiscing about this, and I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
New episodes of IMDb's That Scene with Dan Patrick are available exclusively on Amazon Music. Please make sure to follow us in the Amazon Music app to get every episode. IMDb's That Scene with Dan Patrick was created, hosted, and produced by me, Dan Patrick. It's also produced by Brendan Pike, edited by Nathan Moody, and executive produced by Paul Anderson, Nick Pinella, and Andrew Greenwood for Workhouse Media. IMDb's That Scene with Dan Patrick is a production of Dan Patrick Productions and IMDb in association with Workhouse Media.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to That Scene with Dan Patrick ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.